classes, schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The potting shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Sentences like this need to come with a big pipe organ cord. 24 years, 4 months in prison for Jeffrey Skilling, former Enron CEO, plus restitution of $45 million to the victims of the fraud. $15 million goes to the lawyers. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
He certainly didn't help himself when he stood up in front of the judge and declared his innocence once again. That's not what sentencing judges are looking for. They're looking from defendants for genuine and humble expressions of regret and an acknowledgement of responsibility. And Skilling gave his trial judge neither of those things.
Next for Skilling.
Obviously, I'm disappointed in the sentence. We'll appeal the sentence. I think we have a good basis for appeal.
He's out on bail in the meantime. On the subject of setting a baseline timetable, mileposts for Iraqi officials to meet in the gradual transfer of power, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
Would everyone wish that everything happened very rapidly?
You bet. Everyone would wish that. They would. We would. Coalition countries would. The Iraqi people would. But I think people have to be realistic.
Death makes for impatience. 86 deaths so far has made October the deadliest month of the year for American troops. And the military in Baghdad says one U.S. soldier is missing. One coal miner in Tremont, Pennsylvania, has died in a coal mine explosion. Other miners all got out safely. It has been a rough year.
This is Jim Crisula. There's been a big jump in coal mining deaths in the U.S. this year, almost double last year's grim figure of 22. With coal prices up, production has been increased, with miners working longer and harder. Some say fatigue and safety concerns are being ignored. The two worst mine accidents this year, Sega, West Virginia, where 12 miners died in January, and in eastern Kentucky, where 5 men died. In May.
As the saying goes, bottoms up. To your health.
Drinking can be good for your heart, says an Archives of Internal Medicine study headed by Boston researcher Dr. Kenneth Mukamal.
Moderate drinking is associated with a 40 to 60% lower risk of heart attacks than is not drinking at all.
In this study of nearly 9,000 healthy medical professionals, the heart attack risk started rising again after a couple of daily drinks. Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Washington.
Another study out today says 3 glasses of red wine seems to protect against colon cancer. 2/3 fewer polyps for those who drank red wine versus those who don't. When you shake hands, you swap germs and maybe cold and flu viruses too. That's a reminder from Dr. Andrew Seymour at Sunnybrook Health Center in Toronto.
We know that when people have a viral infection like the common cold or influenza and they cough or sneeze into a handkerchief or even into their hands, the virus can then survive on the hands and on the fingertips for minutes, if not hours at a time.
If you don't want to shake hands, you don't have to be rude. Just say, I have a bit of a cold. People will have no problem passing up the hand bumping. No problem. On Wall Street, the Dow gained more than 114 points. New record for the Dow, 12,116. NASDAQ up 13. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're in insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
They stole and tried to sell some of Coca-Cola's legendary secrets, but Pepsi refused to drink from that cup.
Ibrahim Demson and Edmund Duhaney admitted in court today they tried to sell Coke secrets to Pepsi in a pot plot that fizzled when Pepsi blew the whistle. Federal prosecutor Randy Chartash.
The government is satisfied, very satisfied with these two pleas.
Chartash says Duhaney cut a deal with prosecutors. He'll get a reduced sentence for helping the woman both men say masterminded the corporate espionage plot. Former Coke worker Joya Williams. In court today, both men said she told them she could make them all a lot of money. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
A Russian cargo ship on its way to China went to the bottom of the Sea of Japan in the middle of a big storm. The ship was bringing timber to the lumber-challenged island nation. The huge load of wood evidently shifted, and the big ship rolled right over. The weather's so bad, aircraft can't even search yet. 18 crewmen were aboard. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Peter B. Collins!
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins, and I'm glad you're listening wherever you happen to be. Are you ready for 3 hours of live, unrehearsed, unscripted, progressive radio talk? I thought so. On our program today, we're going to meet Patrick Campbell, served in Iraq as a sergeant, and he's now a member of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America.
Ready, steady, go!
And their Action Fund has published a new ranking of your congressional members on veterans issues. You'll find it interesting. Also on today's program, a professor of linguistics, that's what it is.
Ready, steady, go!
Professor George Lakoff from the University of California at Berkeley, a leading light on progressive language framing and communication. And he and the Rockridge Institute team have published a handbook for progressives. It's called Thinking Points, and we're going to talk about that at length next hour with George Lakoff, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Whenever you get the urge to communicate with us, we invite you to participate. We'll pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372, toll-free. And you can always email me, the address, peter@peterbcollins.com. You got an idea for a guest or topic on the show? Send it to Matt, our producer, Matt Renner, matt@peterbcollins.com. And every Monday we kick off the show with one of the great folks from Media Matters for America and talk about how the mainstream media performed last week. And our media man today is Paul Waldman from MediaMatters.org. Oh, indeed he is, and he's the author of a powerful book called Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. Paul Waldman, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. You know, I had a great weekend. We cleaned out the garage. Someday we're going to get a car in there. And then I cleaned my office studio here, and you'd be surprised what I found and now what I can't find. But it helps, you know. It just makes you feel better, a little better organized and ready to take on the things that are going on out there. How about you?
Oh, we're doing pretty well here in Washington, D.C.
Well, we're getting down to the wire just 2 weeks and a day from the midterm elections, and I think we'll all be relieved. And I know that it'll be easier to watch television because
it has gotten incredible. You know, here in California, we have a governor's race, and we have these ballot measures. The oil companies and Stephen Bing are spending a combined $130 million on a ballot proposition. Almost every commercial break has a commercial for or against Proposition 87. And one of the techniques that people use in political campaigns now is they produce commercials and they release them to the media and let the media play those commercials for free, but they never actually put a budget behind them and put them on cable or on broadcast.
Right, and you have to wonder just when the news organizations are going to get wise to this. But I think that after a point you begin to think that, well, maybe they just don't really care, that they'll treat the advertisement as newsworthy and air it and give them that free airtime if the ad is inflammatory enough. And, you know, this isn't actually a new tactic. People may have heard of LBJ's famous Daisy ad.
Mm-hmm.
That only aired on television once, but it was replayed again and again on the news. And ever since, people who have an ad that they want to get to more people than they have the money to spend or want to spend know that if it's something that's really dramatic and negative, the news organizations will replay it. And in the age of cable, it means it's going to get played again and again and again.
Yeah. Now, do you recall if there was much of a budget behind the infamous Willie Horton commercial, the Bush campaign spot in 1988?
Not much. And that's another good example, actually.
Yeah.
The Willie Horton ad itself, the one that actually contained Willie Horton, was not aired by the Bush campaign. It was aired by something called the National Security PAC, which was this small Republican organization. And they did the same thing. They bought a tiny little bit of airtime and then gave it to the news media, who aired it again and again and again every time they did a story about Willie Horton. And the Bush campaign had ads about crime that were sort of implicit references to the Willie Horton case, but they didn't air any ads that actually had Willie Horton's face in it because they knew they didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a commercial loaded and ready to run here. Do you want to introduce this for us?
This is something that if you just saw it, you would think it was produced and aired by Al-Qaeda itself. But in fact, it's not. It's something that is produced and aired by the Republican National Committee.
All right, let's listen.
Well, a new Republican ad airing on the web and on television this weekend is raising a lot of eyebrows by warning about the possibility of more terror attacks on America. Democrats are saying this is fear-mongering. Here's part of the ad, which was originally scheduled to appear only on the web, but as we mentioned, is now going to air on TV stations this weekend.
So it's a picture of Osama on the screen, and a tick, tick, tick. But there's
bomb,
no
perhaps.
No voiceover yet, I guess, of a bomb, yeah. And on the screen are texts, translations of videotapes from Zawahiri and Osama. And it replays some of the threats that they have made for the next big event in the U.S. And then there's these murky, quick-cut scenes, MTV style, of violent acts. And then it says, vote November 7th.
All right, Tracy Schmidt is with the Republican National...
Okay, thank you. And that came off MSNBC over the weekend, is that right?
Yes, it's very spooky, and it shows scenes of Bin Laden and Zawahiri and explosions, and this, you know, the ticking of the clock and then the thumping of the heartbeat. And this was something that the Republican National Committee just put up on the web, and then they decided they were going to buy a small amount of airtime, but it got shown multiple times on MSNBC, multiple times on CNN, and multiple times on Fox News. So they don't have to buy any time for it because the news networks have already given them who knows how much worth of airtime for this ad. And it really, at this point, it almost seems as though what the Republican Party wants and what the Al-Qaeda wants are sort of the same thing. They want to get people really scared.
Yeah.
And like I said, this ad looks like it could have been produced by Al-Qaeda. It looks like one of those Al-Qaeda videos, but in fact, it's done by the Republican Party. And one has to wonder whether this is going to work one more time. But this is they're going back to this well yet again.
Well, and there are a couple of things. One is that this points up that the product that Bush and Osama are selling is really the same. It's fear. And that the media is willing to, as you pointed out, take a commercial like this because it is really obnoxious and on the edge, and run it. And the Republicans could have deniability if it blew up in their faces. They could say, "Oh, well, it was just a test spot. It was never supposed to run." And the media got a hold of it, and you know, you can never tell what'll happen. And so it's a way to get a message out there. This is kind of a Karl Rove tactic, isn't it, to get it out there without his fingerprints on it?
Sure. And one of the things that about the news media, particularly on cable, is that it really favors the person who has the lowest ethics. Because candidates and members of Congress, they know that the surest way to get on cable news or on the national news is to say something really mean and nasty about your opponent, or to put up an ad that has despicable inflammatory claims, or is really this kind of fear mongering. That's what the news media is going to gravitate toward, because they like conflict, they like drama, and saying that my opponent is actually a pretty nice guy, even though I think you should vote for me, is not going to get you on the news. Saying that he wants to surrender to the terrorists is going to get you on the news. So it's always going to favor the person who's willing to take the low road.
Now, aren't we overdue for the election endorsement videotape from Osama bin Laden, Paul?
Yeah, and, Peter, I'm sure you must have talked about this on your show. In Ron Suskind's book, The 1% Doctrine, he talked about how the tape that bin Laden released just before the 2004 election, was something that in the CIA, all the analysts who worked on al-Qaeda believed unanimously was something that al-Qaeda put out in order to help George Bush's reelection, despite what they said about it, despite what the Bush campaign said about it at the time. And I think if you think about it for a moment, you realize that the Republicans have been pretty good for al-Qaeda. They invaded Iraq, which was a boon to al-Qaeda. It took the pressure off of them in Afghanistan, where, bin Laden and Zawahiri are still at large. And for a whole host of reasons, George Bush is a wonderful foil for bin Laden to have, something that focuses the anger of the Muslim world and brings more people to al-Qaeda's cause. And it does seem that every time we get near an election, all of a sudden, a few days before, you have a new al-Qaeda videotape cropping up as though they're saying, don't forget about us, we're over here, you
yep.
still feel afraid.
Right. And I felt that the one that was released in late October 2004 was going to hurt Bush because it was a reminder, hey, I'm still at large. But it was spun by the media as something that would hurt John Kerry, and in fact, that may have been the net result. We're going to take a break and return with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. Visit their website, mediamatters.org. And as we continue, we'll talk about the way the Republicans are piling on in their attacks against Nancy Pelosi, who could be the next Speaker of the House. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teacher's highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, Sheila Gale here. Join me on Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons 4 to 5, and hear how local people deal with life on life's terms. You know, the roller coaster ride, up, down, always changing. On Reality Radio, we dive into the real stuff, living day to day, trying to find peace in this crazy world with the most interesting guests. Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, brought to you in part by Italica, with the finest Italian handbags and accessories on Alvarado Street, Monterey, across from Ordway, Italica.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. And we're joined by Edmund in Phoenix. Good afternoon, Edmund. You're on the air.
Thanks, Peter B., for having me on your show. Peter, I've always thought about this fear tactic that the Republicans use with Osama bin Laden and his terrorists. Why isn't the Democrats, every time President Bush or Hannity or any of the Republicans mentioning that, you know, we do better job than Democrats, why can't they, like, run a commercial or respond, rebuttal by saying, well, you know, of Democrats that you call cut and run or you're not safe on the Democrats, we arrested and prosecuted those terrorists that attacked the United States. Why can't we show that Democrats are not weak at national security? They're rotting in jail right now. Why can't we, like, you know, Democrats run a commercial every time Osama bin Laden's videotapes comes out? He's in Afghanistan somewhere, mm-hmm. being loose and making videotapes and rebuttal their commercial. Let us show a commercial of Ramzi Youssef behind bars that he was arrested and prosecuted.
Well, you make
so
a
there's your two different governments.
Edmund, you make a really good point. And Clinton's reaction in the Fox News interview to Chris Wallace 3 weeks ago really is an example of how the Democrats should use messaging and should confront the most specious of the, inaccurate allegations that are made. Paul, do you agree?
Yeah, and I think there has been a change of heart among Democrats in this election cycle. You know, for a while, the belief was that if you just tried to, you know, kind of go along with whatever the Republicans wanted to do on national security, then that was what would make you look tough. So you vote for the Iraq War even if you think it's a bad idea because you're going to look weak if you don't. But
and another thing, I'm sorry, sir.
Hold on, Edmund. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, sorry.
I think what we're seeing this time is that Democrats are confronting the Republicans on national security, and perhaps as a result, we've seen the, you know, obviously the things are looking very good for them,
mm-hmm.
and the polls all show that that the public thinks Democrats do a better job on Iraq, and even do a better job on terrorism for the first time in a long while.
Yeah, somebody sent me a commercial today via email, a guy named Steve Young, who's running in Southern California, and his is a very hard-hitting commercial about the lies that led us into the war, the cost of the war in human and dollar terms, And it's a very effective commercial. So, Edmund, I think that Democrats have heard and are responding, but I also agree with you, particularly on national issues.
They're on the nail. They're not fighting it fire with fire. If this message comes out clearly that we arrested and prosecuted the terrorists, Republicans have not caught and prosecuted the terrorists, that should be direct message in this election to let them know that Democrats are not weak. Who has proven action and who hasn't?
All right, Edmund, thank you very much for your suggestion today. I appreciate that. Now to Larry in Aptos in California. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I have an idea for a national TV advertisement. It would be, I would start right away with Bush making a statement about just as long as I'm the dictator, and then I'd go to the next one where he says, oh, I don't think about him much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just run for about 30 seconds a number of these situations, the latest being we're not stay the course, but I would run right before that, two or three, where he says stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need an ad like that, a national one. I hope George Soros would buy the Times on all the major media so that something like that could be shown. You know, here's the thing. The Republicans like to dish it out, but they can't take it. They'll throw the mud in your face, and we as Democrats, we have to be able to take that mud off our face, go right up to them, and put that mud, just stick it in their face.
Well, Larry, I would suggest that you Google the name Harold Ickes, I-C-K-E-S. He has put some money together from donors to fund those kind of independent commercials this year.
Could I say one more
thing,
too?
Maybe he'll take you up on the idea. Go ahead.
Lehr Report. Here's another thing they could run. On the Lehr Report last week, they show the list of dead.
Mm-hmm.
And in there last week, a 57-year-old with the last name Dominguez, from Georgia, a sergeant, he got killed, and a 46-year-old black woman from New York, she got killed. What's with these older people getting killed? No? You know that?
Well, I mean, you can raise the question. It's because we have squeezed every available person into Iraq.
Absolutely.
And they had to expand the parameters for recruitment in order to meet the force requirements. Larry,
I would show Hannity's 43. Why isn't he over there fighting?
Gotcha. Larry, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Paul, I wanted to just squeeze in one more item here, and let's play this clip from Matt Lauer on the Today Show, and then we'll talk about the way Republicans have been ganging up on Nancy Pelosi.
If you believe the polls, then the Democrats could very well win back control of the House of Representatives in about 3 weeks' time. If they do, the next Speaker of the House will be a woman for the first time in history. Our national correspondent, Jamie Gangel, caught up with the controversial Representative Nancy Pelosi, the woman who could become third in line of succession for the presidency.
Now, exactly why does she qualify for the label of controversial, Paul?
Well, that's what we asked when we saw this. Why does Matt Lauer think Nancy Pelosi is controversial? So we went back, and when you look, it turns out that obviously Republicans are trying to smear her, but not just say bad things about her. That's coming from a lot of quarters. But one of the things you hear from a lot of Republican or conservative commentators is that she's very unpopular. You know, Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard and Fox News said that she was the most unpopular politician in America. Of course, the most unpopular politician in America, depending on how you measure it, is either George Bush or Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that most people don't even know who Nancy Pelosi is.
Right.
But you've heard this from people like Brit Hume and from a whole bunch of other conservatives who are talking about how Nancy Pelosi is so controversial and how people don't like her. And in fact, you know, people are probably going to get to know her after November 7th, but nobody knows who she is yet.
Well, and they treat San Francisco like America's year-round haunted house.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, we'll see if those San Francisco values turn America into some sort of take us down the road toward moral iniquity.
Well, Paul, one of your colleagues compiled all these attacks on Pelosi, and I read some of them on Friday's show and took a lot of calls from people. And it was fascinating just to see the perceptions, particularly in the far reaches of America, about San Francisco and Pelosi. It's NAMBLA and Sodom and Gomorrah. Those are the shorthand terms, and I believe the Republicans are working hard to define her negatively because they do expect her to be the next speaker, and they want to demonize her as much as possible in advance of that. Paul Waldman, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
It's been my pleasure.
Paul Waldman, MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, we'll meet Patrick Campbell.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Dennis Donahue is running for mayor of Salinas because he has a vision of a great city and a plan to make it real. Dennis's community safety plan has earned the trust and the endorsement of the Salinas Police Officers Association, the Monterey County Deputy Sheriffs Association, the California Organization of Police and Sheriffs, and the National Latino Police Officers Association. Imagine a great city. Vote Dennis Donahue for mayor of Salinas.
I'm Dennis Donahue, and I approve this message.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
To go home, to take our boys arena, to take our girls arena, to take our boys arena, to take our girls. Time to go home, to take our boys arena, to take our girls arena, to take our boys arena.
Listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Our music of the moment is Time to Go Home. It's Michael Franti and Spearhead.
Those who build walls.
And joining us this half hour is Sergeant Patrick Campbell, a combat medic, and he spent time in Iraq returning in October of 2005 after a year of service in Baghdad with the 256th Infantry Brigade based out of Louisiana. And he was assigned to regularly patrol the western region of Baghdad. He was awarded the Combat Medal Badge and the Meritorious Service Medal. And he was a blogger while he was in Iraq. He's currently a full-time law student at Catholic University in D.C. and helps staff the Washington Office of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. He graduated with a political science degree from UC Berkeley, which is also where Matt Renner went, and Professor George Lakoff is going to follow you today, Pat.
Awesome.
Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much. It's always good to be talking to people on the left coast.
Now, tell me your thoughts about the current situation in Baghdad, where it's been declared that this redeployment of American forces has created more carnage and not greater security, and it's been declared a failure by most accounts.
I think right now, in my humble opinion, that we're talking, I'm an enlisted soldier, but you know, in my humble opinion, they just, if they really wanted to quell the violence in Baghdad, they needed to send more troops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to be serious about committing troops. There's some number, I think it's, you know, I think it's something like 20 out of every 1,000 people need to be security forces, and even with the redeployment of troops to Baghdad, we're nowhere near that number that you would need to quell sectarian or any type of violence in a city as big as Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And so we might say that we want to do it, but we really haven't put our money where our mouth is. If we wanted to end the violence, we could send a lot more troops in there and we would stop the violence.
How many do you think we would need? Because up to a certain point, we remain targets and an irritant as an occupying force.
Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily just have to be American troops, but of all the manuals that I've seen, I think that, if I remember correctly, it's 20 out of 20 people, so security forces of some shape or size, out of every 1,000, you know, local population. And
mm-hmm.
I know Baghdad's in the millions, so you're talking, you know, tens of thousands of security forces that, you know, they just don't have the numbers right now.
Yeah. Now, we're hearing more and more calls for a shift in strategies or tactics. It's interesting because Bush says, well, I'll change tactics. I'm flexible on tactics, but we're not going to leave, and we're not going to set a timetable. We're not going to permit partitioning. And so even as people like Senator Lugar, who spoke up for the first time in my recent memory over the weekend, saying that it's time for a new strategy and that we can't wait even until after the election to implement it, it appears that the president is boxing himself in. And we have this Baker Commission that's going to release a report of some sort after the election. Do you see the signs of looming major changes in America's posture toward the occupation?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to. I mean, when you have both parties finally speaking up and Congress taking back the power that they've given, the carte blanche that they've given the president's going to have to come up with a plan. He can't just say, I'm going to change, you know, I'm willing to change my strategy, but not actually say what strategies he's willing to change it to. I mean, the choice between withdrawal or stay the course is a false choice, and everyone who pays attention knows that you need to change course. And we haven't heard any real overtures from the president saying this is the courses that we're willing to accept. And it's all just lip service for the elections right now. And as the Brookings Institute said about 4 or 5 months ago at a hearing about what we need to do to win in Iraq, he said, you know, Kenneth Pollack said, you know, our time is very limited, and if we don't do it right now, we're probably never going to be able to do it right in the future. And that, to me, was as ominous as it could be. And unfortunately, we're just not doing it right now.
Mm-hmm. And so as you look at the picture, how can you, well, I don't want to put this in terms. I'm not trying to in any way infer that there's blame on you or on me. But we are sitting here recognizing that our policy is killing Americans and leading to large loss of life by Iraqis. They're mostly killing one another, but they're also killing Americans. And so as these politicians make the calculation, well, we've just got to get past Election Day. Well, this month alone, over 78 Americans have died. There's so many Iraqis dying that the Iraqi government has notified the United Nations that they will no longer be providing casualty figures. They're going to try to keep it a secret. And as you look at this, what is really hard for me is that our political leaders are willing to let more Americans die between now and November 7th in order to score their political points.
I mean, I think, and everyone's to blame at this. You know, everyone took the time off, and, you know, I know that the Democrats are starting to have all these, you know, what they call congressional hearings, but they're more like congressional panels about, you know, Iraq. But, you know, they were 3 weeks before the election. And as much as I enjoyed having the opportunity to tell my story, I didn't really feel as though they were, you know, substantive anyway. They were all grandstanding. And I think to ignore the fact that soldiers are dying in Iraq right now and that, you know, there are so many serious issues that needed to be discussed a year ago, and we're going to wait for, you know, even if the Congress changes, then, you know, we're going to have a lame duck period and it's going to be months before, you know, when is the right time to start taking up the tough questions? And it should be now, but Congress abrogated its oversight responsibility and hasn't really stepped up to the plate and said, we're taking it back and we're going to hold this president accountable for the decisions he's made.
Sergeant Patrick Campbell with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, representing Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. They're on the web at iava.org, and they have a separate website for their political action committee, which is iavaaction.org, no space or anything, just iava and the word action.org. And one of the things that the PAC has done is raised money to support veterans who are running for office this year. Is that right, Patrick?
Well, the PAC that we originally started a PAC that would help run veterans, but we decided pretty early on that as an organization we needed to part ways with them.
Oh, okay.
And we started it was all in good, you know, good feelings. It's just in order for us to represent veterans on the Hill the right way, we wanted to keep our nonpartisan nature and keep advocating on the Hill while they, you know, put veterans in office.
Mm-hmm.
And we completely support what they're doing, and you know, we help as much as we can within the law. So,
well, I got the announcement. I didn't get the stand down.
No problem.
On that one. But what you have done is put together a fascinating little interactive feature on the website where people from anywhere in the country can enter the zip code that they live in, and up will come a window with evaluations of your elected officials for in relation to military and veterans issues. And so, for example, Patrick and I have both pulled up the page that has George W. Bush, the two California senators, and my congresswoman, Lynn Woolsey. And in it, we get an evaluation of the votes that they have taken. And let's just take recent examples here, because, Patrick, I'm one of these people who really thinks that the so-called Military Commissions Act is barbaric, and it is a new low point in American legislative history. And, you know, the way the Bush administration has all these happy names like clear skies and healthy forests. Well, I renamed the Military Commissions Act the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006.
I'm not trying to laugh because it's not funny, but it's definitely appropriate.
Well, so let's just take a look here, for example, on the Specter Amendment regarding habeas corpus. I'm wondering if I'm looking at the right item here. It says rejected Specter Amendment to strike the provision regarding habeas review.
Yep.
That is the Specter Amendment that was intended to keep habeas corpus in the bill, and it went down to defeat.
Yes, it did. And we actually got a couple emails from our veterans about this. One or two veterans who just didn't really understand why we as veterans would take this up as an issue. And after I wrote them back and said, look, you know, when you get captured and you start being subjected to the same policies that we're going to be subjecting our detainees to, you know, what would you prefer? Would you want to have the right to be able to, you know, go to court and say these things aren't, you know, constitutional, these things aren't right, these are violating your rights as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I couched in those terms saying, hey, this is going to come back to bite us, these, for veterans at least, you know, we are the people who are going to pay the most for this military commissions bill. I mean, we are the people who, when we get captured and they start doing these type of things that we're doing to, you know, these detainees, and our American government gets up and says this is a war crime, everyone's going to laugh at us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, you know, once you strip the politics away and say, how is this going to affect the soldiers who are actually fighting these wars that, you know, our government's sending them to, you know, then it's really hard to justify why we're doing this.
Yeah. Well, I see the connection. I certainly wouldn't argue with you that this is an important issue for current and past military members to be concerned about. So in this, the measure was rejected. Both Feinstein and Boxer voted for it,
mm-hmm.
and you guys added a little red X in the score box.
Let me see. I got it.
Well, the one above that passed, there's a green check mark.
Right.
And Feinstein and Boxer voted against it. That was the Military Commissions Act.
Specifically, the Spectre Amendment. The Spectre Amendment was they got a green check. That means they voted for it.
Okay.
That means they voted the correct way.
All right. Then on the Byrd Amendment.
On the Byrd Amendment.
They voted yes to prohibit the establishment of new commissions after 2011.
Right. And the reason, and I can't recall, I mean, we had over 300 votes.
Mm-hmm.
But if I remember correctly, the reason why we took a stance on that, it was the purpose of that was overtly political. It had nothing to do with actually limiting the commissions.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, as an organization, we don't like playing political games with soldiers' lives.
Yeah.
And I think, I know I've said this, you know, publicly now, you know, you can quote me all you want, but I think that's what it was,
mm-hmm.
about that particular issue.
Okay.
But yeah, we definitely supported the Spectre Amendment. We believe that military commissions, you know, in theory are legal. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can have military commissions. You just can't abrogate the Geneva Convention protections in order to have them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not saying the president doesn't have the power to create them.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, quite the opposite. You know, they are expedient uses of justice only if they protect the basic human rights that are granted under the Geneva Convention. And we have no real reason for doing this other than just to be spiteful, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go, if you scroll down, there's a vote of June 22nd on the Kerry Amendment, number 4442, and the senators from California split on it. Dianne Feinstein voted against it, and it was defeated. This was the Kerry Amendment to set a timeline to mm-hmm. redeploy American forces out of Iraq. Senator Boxer voted for it. And you folks are in agreement with Senator Feinstein on this.
Right. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier, and that is the setting a timetable is not the right answer for Iraq. And it's because a timetable specifically is political. And any time both the House or the Senate said immediate withdrawal or a timetable, we felt like people were playing games with soldiers. What we feel is that a performance-based withdrawal, you know, something that sets objectives, performance standards of some way, that is the right way to withdraw. I think just to say, you know, we're going to withdraw without having the debate of whether or not we're doing better or worse, or at least setting some groundwork for that, is not the right way to come out of Iraq. I think a lot of the soldiers, at least I believe, when I left, I felt that we have a moral responsibility to fix the mistakes that we made. I do not believe we should, me personally, Patrick Campbell, not Sergeant Patrick Campbell, believe that we shouldn't have gone in there in the first place. But I also believe that we should take responsibility for the actions that we have.
All right, I want to talk further about that, but we've got to take a break, Patrick, so we'll return in just a moment. And I'll bet some listeners would like to discuss that with you, too. Lines are open now at 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-573-8372. Our guest, Sergeant Patrick Campbell, representing Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Their website, the one we're talking about, is iavaaction.org. And I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
That I really believe that pagans and the abortionists, the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government. And so,
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Tom Hartman.
See, the bottom line here, Bush is afraid to negotiate. And now he's having to negotiate out of fear.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It's the exact opposite of what John Kennedy suggested in his inaugural address back in 1961.
Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.
And Bush has done both.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. You're invited to join our conversation at 888-5-PETER-B. Professor George Lakoff is going to join us next hour for the entire hour. We continue now with Patrick Campbell, a sergeant in the Army. Actually, he was in the National Guard, assigned to the 256th Infantry Brigade, served a year in Iraq, and is now with the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. We're talking about the website feature that they have developed at IAVAaction.org, and that's where they rate individual members of Congress and the Senate on their votes from the perspective of soldiers, particularly the veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts. And Patrick, I certainly understand that you're treading a fine line there, and that in, you know, your mission, which is to represent the best interests of our fighting men and women, that the politics get in the way, and sometimes you simply, you know, want to express that. When it comes to the withdrawal, though, I really feel that it's in the best interest of the troops to set a reasonable timeline, not a precipitous one, but to really make it clear to the Iraqis that we're not going to be there forever. And even Rumsfeld admitted that on Friday. And I think that it would provide for an orderly approach to the inevitable. And we do have a civil war there. I'm not going to mince words or quibble over the definition of terms. And we're in the middle of the shooting, and we are one of the irritants there. So I say that really kind of debating you as an individual and not challenging the decision of the organization to evaluate the senator's votes on that basis.
Well, no, I mean, I definitely think reasonable people can disagree on which is the best course of action to take, but, you know, I think a timeline sets up a false choice, and that is that we're going to leave no matter what. And it does have the benefits of telling the Iraqi people we're going to leave. I think the real issues that soldiers have when they're overseas is that they spend most of the time just sitting there waiting for things to happen. And I know as a soldier, if you told me that you do X, Y, and Z, and you get to go home, we will move mountains.
problem was, is when I was over there, they told us to do X, and if we had any extra time, to just sit and try not to get killed. And I think a lot of what, you know, is happening over there is soldiers aren't given a mission. They aren't given a mission where they you know, have to strive to achieve, and then knowing if they do achieve it, what'll happen because of it.
Yeah, but sailors and members of the Air Force should not be doing ground patrol in Baghdad or Tikrit or anywhere else. We're misusing our troops because we don't have enough of them and because Bush never committed enough to the theater to begin with. And still, you know, I believe that the most honest approach is to admit that we screwed up and say that we are going to, in an orderly manner, withdraw and do our best to strengthen this government in its ability to deal with the very serious sectarian problems that we have unleashed.
I mean, I can only speak from my personal experience, and my unit was one of the first units to transition over to the Iraqi army, and I remember the week that we transitioned, where they were taking over and we were kind of transitioning out, it was 2 or 3 days before Hurricane Katrina hit. And one of the least known or least talked about atrocities that happened in Iraq was during a religious ceremony called the Death of the Seventh Imam. And that day, it was one of the first days the Iraqi soldiers were taking over security. And they had millions of people flooding into an area called Qadamiyah, which is northwest Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, 1,000 people died in one day. 1,000 civilians died in one day because the Iraqi soldiers and the security forces they had on the ground weren't prepared for the emergency situation. I mean, they had a bridge collapse, and thousands of people were trampled, fell to their death. And more people died that day than died in Hurricane Katrina. And in my mind, imprinted in my mind, is the idea that the moment we leave, you know, it's going to shock our consciousness,
mm-hmm.
you know, how many people are going to die. And the amount of people that are dying right now is going to pale in comparison to the people the moment we start withdrawing.
But that suggests that at some point the Iraqis are going to stop executing one another. They're going to stop settling religious, ethnic, and tribal scores. And I don't think that's going to happen on our watch because we are the convenient target. We're the only thing that unifies them. Let me take some calls because people want to mix it up with you on this. First up, Carl Young from Fortuna. Carl is a Vietnam vet. Welcome, Carl.
Everybody, I want to thank you for coming up the Blue Lake. We had a great time with you up here.
Well, thank you, Carl. It was terrific.
A couple of things. I'm the vice president of our Vietnam Vets of America chapter up here in Ferndale. And I'm obviously on top of a lot of things that are going on, but we have legislation, whatever the case may be. And I was excited to see on Larry Scott's website, vawatchdog.org, the information concerning how our elected officials voted one way or the other for veterans programs and issues and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another one that came out right below the Iraqi war vet one there on other evaluations done by the Disabled American Veterans, the American Legion, and how various congressmen and senators supported it. And it was interesting. I urge any veteran out there that's listening, if you have access to a computer, is to go out and check these things out, because there's some very interesting results there. If you are not decided after you look at the voting records overall of Republicans and Democrats when it comes to supporting veterans programs and issues, you will be voting Democrats right across the board. It's just unbelievable. I mean, our congressman up here, Mike Thompson, who I have a lot of respect for, who's also a disabled vet, got wounded over in Vietnam, with 60% of the time, which is a little bit low for Democrats. Most of them were between 80 and 90 to 100%. Republicans, 20 to 30% overall on veterans issues and programs.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you exactly where the support of the troops is coming from.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little recap of our stand down we had up there, our first one.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable numbers. 175 veterans and families we assisted.
I'm really glad you did that. Carl, I'm out of time here in this segment, but I appreciate the call today. And Patrick Campbell, thank you for joining us. Thanks for your work at IAVA.
Well, thank you. It's always good to talk to people back on the West Coast.
Right.
Can't wait to being home.
Okay, come on back to Berkeley. They're waiting for you.
Oh, go Bears.
Okay. Patrick Campbell, sergeant in the National Guard who served in Iraq. You can visit the website website, iavaaction.org. Coming up next, we're going to spend the hour with Professor George Lakoff, linguistics professor from University of California at Berkeley, and the handbook is out for progressives. We're going to give you some point-by-point tips next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Jeffrey Skilling gets 24 years.
Jeff Skilling's leadership, or lack thereof, is what got Enron into the trouble.
Changing tactics in Iraq, but not the objective. I'm Mark Noller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Quite a spectacle outside the federal courthouse in Houston.
Get behind him!
Two police horses escorted former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling to his day of reckoning. He was sentenced to 24 years and 4 months in prison for his role in the company's implosion. The judge heard from Enron employees who lost their jobs and their retirement savings. And, as KTRH Radio's Tom Matthews reports, from Skilling himself.
Skilling continued to proclaim his innocence, telling the judge that he respectfully disagrees with the convictions and that he is not guilty of the charges.
Outside the courthouse, Skilling vowed to fight on.
We'll appeal the sentence. I think we have a good basis for appeal.
Former Enron Vice President Sharon Watkins blew the whistle on Enron's accounting fraud and says it's only fair that Skilling's been held accountable.
He was the CEO. He was the man at the helm through much of this fraud. And so for me, him getting 24 years, it is justice.
About $45 million of Skilling's remaining assets will be liquidated and put into a victim's compensation fund. Now this.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event, with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30:06.
A U.S. Army translator in Baghdad is missing, and indications are that the soldier may have been kidnapped. Military officials say a search is underway. The southern Iraqi city of Amara is still out of control. Police have gone into hiding, while militiamen loyal to cleric Muqtada al-Sadr rule the streets, hunting down and killing members of a rival Shiite militia. The Bush administration portrays its new Iraq strategy as fine-tuning rather than a major overhaul. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has the latest.
We're told by the White House that no dramatic shifts in policy on Iraq are coming. But President Bush is again making the case that U.S. tactics are constantly being adjusted. Interviewed on CNBC's Closing Bell, Mr. Bush described his weekend strategy session with U.S. commanders in Iraq.
The meeting went like this. We want to win. Yes, sir. What are we doing to adjust to the enemy? And here are some options, Mr. President. And my answer is, you choose. and I support you.
In fact, a spokesman says Mr. Bush has deliberately stopped using the phrase "stay the course" in Iraq to make clear that the course is dynamic and subject to constant shifts. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The Transportation Security Administration today issued orders to tighten the screening of air cargo on passenger flights. This comes after the TSA was confronted with the results of a CBS News investigation. Correspondent Armin Katayan explains how it worked.
We began by sending a CBS producer with a hidden camera to a shipping company near London's Heathrow Airport, armed with a lead-lined package that could hide a bomb, but in our case holds only high-speed film. The package is specially designed, so we'll be able to tell whether security has opened or x-rayed it. Super-sensitive film would show that.
The package got on an American Airlines flight to New York with 200 people aboard. Similar packages, six in all, were shipped on other flights, but only one was opened for inspection, and there's no evidence from the high-speed film that any of the packages was x-rayed. A TSA official says that doesn't mean the packages weren't inspected by explosive detection devices or by bomb-sniffing dogs. In Atlanta today, two men accused of plotting with a secretary at Coca-Cola to steal trade secrets from Coke pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy each. Ibrahim Dimson and Edmund Dehaney are expected to testify against the former secretary, Joy Williams, who's scheduled to stand trial next month. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. This hour is going to be fascinating and practical. We're going to take some of the lessons that George Lakoff has published in previous books and try to bring them down to the activist level. And during this hour, if you're a political activist, I want you to call in and tell us some of the challenges you're wrestling with. Of the moment from Australia's Midnight Oil. That's called My Country, Right or Wrong? Well, my country needs a lot of work. My country needs some fixing. My country needs the impact of progressive involvement in every level of the process. And there's a blueprint for progressive activists that has just been published by the Rockridge Institute and Professor George Lakoff. It's called Thinking Points, A Progressive's Handbook, the subtitle, Communicating Our American Values and Vision. Professor Lakoff, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
A pleasure to be here, Peter, as always.
Nice to talk with you, sir. And first up, I wanted to mention that our producer, Matt Renner, spied you in the crowd at the Al Gore rally in Berkeley today. He's there on behalf of a ballot measure that would put a tax on oil companies here in California. How do you think Al did?
Al was great. I mean, Al was, if he'd only been that good in 2000, he did very, very well.
Was he framing, and were his language choices in compliance with your advice?
It's not just language choices. Remember that what we're suggesting is talking about values and principles, and he was right up there. He, as he said, the issue of energy is a moral issue. It is, you know, one of the, perhaps the moral issues of our day, one of the moral issues of our day to, you know, deal with global warming and to deal with pollution generally. That is crucial, and he's right.
Mm-hmm. And did he use any of the other side's language or framing in a way that made you uncomfortable?
Not at all. He was right there.
Oh, good. Good. So maybe he's been reading your books and paying attention?
I hope so,
yeah.
But he's been doing very well.
Now, tell us what prompted you and your colleagues at Rockridge to publish this book, and it's, as I understand it, it's also available on the website.
Yeah. By the way, it's $10 retail, so it's cheaper to buy than to download, and probably less on the internet. But yeah, if you want to, you can download it. You know, but it's easier to buy it. The basic idea is this. We have been asked for the past 4 years by activists and people in the grassroots who want to speak out to tell them how to do it, to say, okay, you know, we want to express what we feel in our gut. How do we do it? What do we say? How do we think about it? How do we argue? And what we did finally was to say, look, we're going to put out a handbook. And we're going to give it away online and make it cheap and accessible, giving you everything you need to know about framing, not issue by issue, because that's vast amounts to know. But what we can do on our website is expand it indefinitely, open it up, take your suggestions, take your questions, and over a period of months and years, try to deal with as much as possible in detail while we give you the general idea. What we're trying to do is form a national speak-out network of a million voices.
And how would you corral an army like that?
Well, I think the Internet is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we need to just to put out the word. Now the handbook is done. You know, we're now raising money for the get the appropriate computer necessities to do that, get the computational programs in place, and then spread the word over the Internet.
Now, have any campaigns bought cases of your book, for example, the Sherrod Brown campaign in Ohio or some of the other progressives who are running in races that they could win this year?
I have no idea. I mean, Sherrod's a wonderful guy. He had the Elephant book a couple of years ago, and he's had World Politics. I don't know. This book just came out 2 weeks ago. I have no idea if he's had a chance to buy a case of them.
Great. The place I'd like to start, Professor Lakoff, is with your attack on the center. I read the book last night, and by the way, I wanted to let you know that I think your goals were achieved. You wrote in the foreword to the book that you wanted it to be a brief read and something full of practical do's and don'ts, and I found it to be very useful. And I spent about an hour and a half, and I read most of it, so I think you did achieve your goals. But one of the things you try to clear up is this phony notion that there is a center party in American politics.
Yeah, there is no single set of values and positions that constitute a center. It doesn't exist. What you have are two very different ideologies, two very different ways of understanding the world, what I call a strict father and nurturant ideology, which have to do with conservative ways of viewing the world and progressive ways of viewing the world. And there are many people who, in fact, most of us have both of those in different parts of our lives, or even, you know, you may be progressive in every active part of your life, but you're conservative. You have a conservative worldview if you can watch an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and understand it. You know, if you don't walk out saying, "What was that about?" then you've got that in your brain somewhere.
Well, just on that basis, Professor, maybe I do qualify as all progressive, because I was asked to leave Terminator 3. Because I was laughing at inappropriate times compared to the other people in the theater.
Well, that's fine. That means you really understood both at once.
Does that make me biconceptual in that respect?
Oh, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You can't grow up in this culture without being biconceptual. But they're active biconceptual.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, someone who has really conservative views on certain issues and identifies as a conservative, say, on those issues, but actually has very progressive views in other areas of their lives. And this is something that Ronald Reagan understood very well. He understood that blue-collar workers who had been voting Democratic were nurtured in their union workplaces, but were strict fathers at home. So he used metaphors from the home to talk about politics, to activate their strict father values when they were voting. And this is what conservatives have been doing since then. They understand that. Now, there are a lot of conservatives in this country, conservatives in the sense that if you ask them on a poll, what are you, they'll say, you know, I'm conservative. But these are people who actually love the land as much as any environmentalist does. They mm-hmm. like to go hunting and fishing and camping and hiking, and they want to breathe clean air and drink clean water just like anybody else. They love the land, and you can talk to them on that basis.
Mm-hmm.
Many people identify as conservatives are progressive Christians, not conservative fundamentalists. They're people who really do believe that the meek shall inherit the earth, that we should be feeding the hungry and healing the sick.
Well, in the book Thinking Points, you identify the left's favorite punching bag this year, Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, and you say that senator describes himself as a moderate. In fact, little about him is moderate.
Yeah.
He doesn't typically stake out middle-of-the-road positions on particular issues. Instead, his politics include both liberal and conservative positions, but on different issues. This makes him a biconceptual. His progressive worldview appears in his staunch support of environmental protection, abortion rights, workers' rights. His conservative worldview emerges in areas like his support of faith-based initiatives, school vouchers, and most notably, the current policy on Iraq. Because he tends to adopt progressive positions more often than conservative ones, we refer to him as a partial conservative, but not as a moderate.
That's right. There's nothing moderate about that guy.
And he's probably going to win.
Well, he may well win for various reasons. He's getting a huge amount of Republican and corporate money,
mm-hmm.
and that may tip the balance for him. But, you know, that we'll just see. He's basically getting the full Republican vote and some of the Democratic vote.
Yeah, it is fascinating, and I thought Ned Lamont was going to be able to pull it off. I'm still hopeful, but doesn't seem to be showing up in the polls. We're going to take a break and return with Professor George Lakoff. Our lines are open for you, so if you're an activist, one of our listeners in Sacramento, in Eureka, in Phoenix, or on the Central Coast, or maybe one of our fine new listeners in Coos Bay, Oregon, if you've got questions of a practical nature, let's talk about them this hour and do a little practicum here, a little seminar with Professor George Lakoff. The new book is called Thinking Points, Communicating Our Values and Vision, and we'll take your calls in a moment at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, deal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at an accident working in the Hollister-Gilroy area. Southbound 101 at 152, we have a vehicle that went off the roadway, actually went down an embankment. Looks like tow truck on scene now. Santa Cruz covered bridge at Graham Hill, we have a vehicle partially blocking a lane there, doesn't give the direction. Black Ranch Road at State Route Highway 1 in Santa Cruz, we have a traffic, it looks like a pickup truck and another black Nissan blocking the roadway there, so be advised. Matson Lane at Soquel, that's in Santa Cruz. We have a vehicle versus a pedestrian. Although it does look like the vehicle, the roadway is clear. Everything off to the shoulder. Fire department already on scene there. This support brought to you by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes. Convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. Mike O'Shea with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
That Monkey's Makeover is Top of the Pops here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Professor George Lakoff from the University of California at Berkeley. And you know, Don't Think of an Elephant. He was on our show earlier this summer. His newest book about freedom, Whose Freedom? And the brand new book is a manual or a guidebook. Doesn't have dummies, the yellow ink. But it's called Thinking Points, Communicating Our American Values and Vision. And it's subtitled A Progressive's Handbook. Professor, we're joined by Josh in Salinas. Hello, Josh. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter.
Hi.
I wanted to talk with you about an experience I had this Saturday. I was talking with MoveOn.org. I was calling up voters in a toss-up district. And I wound up speaking for about 20 minutes with a woman who was undecided.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept on saying, well, what matters to me really is the morals of the candidate.
Yes.
And I developed the theme of morals a little bit, but I think if I could have gone back in time, I would have worked on it even more strongly to say, ma'am, do you think that torture is moral? Do you think that holding people in prison without the opportunity for a trial is moral?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that launching a war against a foreign country based on false witness is moral?
And, Professor, what's your reaction?
Well, fine as far as it goes. What you have to do is also point out what the moral vision of progressives is. That is, what progressives believe as a moral vision is to care about people and act responsibly on that care, both for themselves and others. And that means protection. Is protection moral? Well, what is protection what? Protecting the environment, protecting workers, protecting consumers, having a safety net. Those things are moral. Is it moral to care about freedom? Yes. If you look over the history of America, the notion of freedom that has been most expanded upon because Americans insisted on it were freedom to vote, freedom to freedom from want, freedom from fear, and so on. You go through the kinds of freedoms, our civil rights and our freedom to be educated, to have access to opportunity and to knowledge. Those freedoms have been expanded upon over and over. And if you look at what, let's say, our president is doing, he says, well, I'm working for your freedom when I spy on you. I'm protecting your freedom. And you might ask, do you think having somebody listening on your phone calls is protecting your freedom? Is that moral? But you're right. The question, let's say, about Katrina, was it moral for the Bush administration to decide that FEMA should be have its funds cut? And should be essentially abolished and made into a last responder instead of a first responder.
But, Professor, part of the problem I see here is that Josh could be talking past the person on the phone because they don't have a common understanding of what morals are. The Republicans have redefined it into, gay marriage and personal sexual morality as opposed to the larger question of the morality of the war, the morality of torture.
Well, these are exactly the things that you've got to redefine. I mean, you've got to come back at just as Josh said, to say, look, is it moral to torture people?
Mm-hmm.
Period. Is it moral to, but not just to go against them, but to say, is it moral to let people in this country starve, go without health care when they're working two jobs? Is it moral to transfer wealth to wealthy people while people who are not making much money can't even get health care?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are moral issues. Is it moral to ignore the global warming crisis in the world? I mean, here we have a major crisis happening all over the world, and is it moral to just sit and let the oil companies make more and more money while the world deteriorates?
Josh, you got a follow-up?
I think you're both right. My observation at the end of the call was simply that the woman was operating probably from a religious framework, but definitely seeing morals as really ironclad, just trapped in the framework of sexuality, and there's no moral beyond that. And I think that's because of the media diet that she gets. And so that's why I was trying to bring her dialogue and her debate beyond the framework of sexuality. She said, I'm against gay marriage. And I said, yeah, and that's what Republicans want you to decide your vote on. But is this moral? Is that moral?
Mm-hmm.
Because as both of you have pointed out, too, there are many areas in which politics intersect with morality beyond sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And not only that, but progressives have very deep moral commitments.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
More than
for the money.
Josh, thanks a lot for your call today.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, Jamie in Phoenix. Hello, Jamie. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor George Lakoff.
Hi, Peter. Welcome to Daytimes in Phoenix.
I'm loving it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and hello, Professor Lakoff. This is quite an honor.
Oh,
I'm a big fan of your work. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on how to get past the initial reaction of you don't talk about politics and religion in polite company.
Well,
I'll tell you what, we've got only about 20 seconds before the break, so why don't you both hold on, and we're going to come right back to that question after the break. We'll take more calls, too, with Professor George Lakoff. He's with us for the rest of this hour. So if you have a comment that you'd like to bring to the mix or a question that you've encountered as you've been campaigning or trying to work your activism this fall, we'd love to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You can also drop me an email. Peter@peterbcollins.com. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's mm-hmm. just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November, with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Lost in Translation. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network, sponsored by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand. Over the weekend, State Department official Alberto Fernandez gave an interview to the Arabic television channel Al Jazeera about the stalled war in Iraq. And among other things, he told Al Jazeera in fluent Arabic, quote, "We tried to do our best, but I think there is much room for criticism because undoubtedly there was arrogance and there was stupidity from the United States in Iraq," unquote. Now, what you'll notice about this quote is that it states the obvious. However, a senior administration official told CNN the remarks must have been mistranslated, even though both the AP and CNN translations matched. Then a State Department spokesman said Fernandez had been misquoted, even though Fernandez had confirmed the quote to CNN. And finally, Fernandez himself said the comments were misreported, until he saw that even the official transcript quotes him as saying arrogance and stupidity. Now he says he seriously misspoke. And you may well ask how a diplomat might misspeak on such an important topic, especially when he's fluent in Arabic. Cynics might even say he didn't misspeak at all. This was actually an involuntary spasm of truth. Oh, no, no. I'm guessing that the problem is with the Arabic language itself. I'm betting that in Arabic, the phrase arrogance and stupidity sounds very much like the phrase meaning the inevitable march of freedom and peace, which will happen as we adjust our tactics to achieve victory without a timetable.
When you build your business in Michigan, you really do get the upper hand, like United Solar did. When they needed to expand in order to produce solar cells, it also worked as roofing shingles. The Michigan Economic Development Corporation was there to help. They found the resources, incentives, and partnerships to make Unisolar's new facility a reality. And they can do the same for you. Find out how at Michigan.org. Wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand.
This is Dave Ross.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
Hey!
we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Our guest is Professor George Lakoff, University of California at Berkeley, a linguistics professor. And the new book is a handbook or a manual, Thinking Points, Communicating Our American Values and Vision. And I want to thank the professor for hanging on, but also want to thank Jamie for hanging on.
If you want to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Somebody didn't make it.
I'm still here.
Okay. Matt, can you call the professor back? So we lost him during the break. We'll get him back for you here in just a second. And, Jamie, you hold on because I wanted to tell Josh and Salinas that there is a great section in the book called Progressive Morality that helps you marshal some of the arguments about the common good and the commonwealth and how that is a moral set of values. So I recommend that to you. And now I mash a little button here, and we got Professor Lakoff back. Sorry we dropped your call there, Professor.
Okay.
And if you recall, before that lengthy commercial break, Jamie from Phoenix had joined us, and Jamie's still here. And,
yes.
Jamie, you wanted to ask about how we can talk about thorny issues like politics in so-called polite company. Give us an example. Is it your in-laws or a brother?
No, it's often, say, people at work, because I work in health care, or they talk to me about health care, and they'll say, oh, well, this Medicare D thing, and it's so horrible, and la, 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 and I'll try to use that as a reason to broach the subject of, you know, do you vote Democrat or Republican? You know, that was a Republican thing. And they look right at you and say, oh, I don't talk about politics.
Well,
then what do you do with that? You're shut down.
Well, it's very simple. This is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. It is a moral imperative that people have health care, period. And that has to do with who you vote for.
Yeah, I know. I just on a regular basis, people just say they won't talk about it.
But mainly talk about it as a moral issue. Constantly talk about what does it mean to vote, you know, for people in politics to vote against, you know, health care,
well,
vote against, you know, extending Medicare, to refuse to have Medicare for all.
Jamie, what I'm hearing, too, is it's fascinating because I don't know when this crept into our vernacular or, you know, just average daily speech. But it sounds like you're talking about somebody who would say, oh, don't go there.
Yes.
And that's a whole type of conversation that I really resent. Because if somebody doesn't want to talk about something, there are a lot of different ways to communicate that to me. But when they say, don't go there, they're saying, I am ignorant and I want to stay that way. Or, you know, I have a biased opinion and there's nothing you can do to change it.
Right.
And that's one of the most frustrating kinds of things I come up against. And
well,
Professor, is there a way to crack through the don't go there mindset?
The only way to do it is to bring it up as a moral issue, as a question of ethics, and then to take the particular thing that they're talking about and point out that this moral issue has political causes. And that politics is about morality, and it is about all the things they care about. That is, when they're complaining about something, whether, you know, let's say the breakdown of our healthcare system, there's a reason for it. And they need to understand what the reason is, and there's a cure for it. They need to understand what the cure for it, and all of those are moral issues. You know, if they're gonna complain, they're complaining usually for very good reason. And they're complaining because they think something is wrong. Morally wrong. And you can agree with them. You say, yes, that's wrong. It's morally wrong. And you know how it got that way? Here's how.
Yeah, I suppose. Once they get up and walk away, though, you're still standing there talking to yourself.
Well, Jamie, one of the things you might try is a common reference point that involves humor. Maybe this individual watches The Daily Show.
Right. No.
John Stewart. Yeah.
I live in Arizona. I work at a Mennonite nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So on a regular basis, I'm surrounded by a lot of conservatives, Republicans, and very religious people. And it's just an interesting thing. And I'm not sure if this really does fall to Professor Lakoff or not. But on a regular basis, it's okay for them to tell me their politics and religion.
Right.
But as a progressive atheist, it's not okay for me to talk about it in polite company.
Well, you know, there's a question of what it means to be an atheist. You know, there are many different conceptions of God, you know, most of which are not accepted by Christians. And, you know, there are the ones that the Christians tend to accept are two of the four basic classes. One of them is God as a person, usually a strict father, and two, God as the infinite, you know, the all-knowing, the first cause, the all-good, etc. But they usually don't accept God as being part of the physical world, as being everywhere in the physical world, and being everywhere in your relationship to other people. That is a very common view of God in the Western world and outside the Western world. And, you know, I'm not, you know, if you view those things as sacred, I'm not sure you're an atheist. You're just an atheist on, you know, on a couple of metaphors.
I do not believe in any deity.
But what is it? Is it? Deity is a word that suggests some sort of a view of God as a person.
Or a sentient.
Or a sentient rather than God as the physical world and the world of relationships to other people. If you view that as sacred, that's another view of God. I mean, that's one of the views around the world. And, you know, I'm not trying to convince you that you shouldn't be, that you should be religious or anything of that sort. I'm just saying that if you hold certain things sacred, like the world itself and like your connections to other people, then that fits a certain religion without a sentient being who is all-powerful.
But then what do you call that?
There are all kinds of names for it.
Yeah, I'm certainly not a Christian.
In Judaism, it's Kabbalism. You know, there are different names. There's, what is the Christian name for it? I'm blanking on it.
Is it the Gnostics?
No, there's a technical name for it in Christianity. I've blanked on it.
Well, there's agnostic.
Anyway, no.
Okay.
Without getting off on that tangent, what my concern is, what my frustration kind of twofold is. One of them is that it's okay to shove conservative religious politics and beliefs out into polite company, but it's not okay to put progressive, mm-hmm. non-secular things into polite company.
Well, but I
and when you try and talk to somebody about it, they just shut you down. And tried what you've said. Humor I've tried. I've tried morals. I've tried. They just tell me that I'm out of line for discussing politics at all.
Well, talk about morality. I believe in what's right.
But all right. How do you...
Jamie, I want to move along, but I thank you for raising a very interesting question today. Appreciate your call.
Thank you both for your time.
You bet. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join the conversation with Professor George Lakoff, we're talking about the new book. It is a progressive's handbook called Thinking Points. And Professor, I wanted to take a couple of minutes here to talk about the 12 traps that you enumerate in the book, because I think there's some interesting information here. What's the focus of the traps or the context of this idea?
Well, they're traps that progressives regularly fall into. One trap, a very common one, is to assume that people vote on the basis of issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to give a list of policies and programs when, in fact, people vote on other grounds. They vote on the basis of values, trust, authenticity, how well, what communication is like and so on, whether a candidate connects with you. That's, a very important trap not to fall into. Another is the assumption that if you just tell people the facts, they'll reason to the right conclusion. Utterly ridiculous. The rationalist trap. Another one is that if you just look at the polls will tell you exactly what to do. Well, not necessarily. The polls don't necessarily tell you what to do for many, many reasons. There are all a lot of traps for that progressives fall into, and it's important that they avoid them. For example, just negating the other side's frames, taking their language and saying, no, saying, I'm for gay marriage, or I'm for abortion, right? As soon as you do that, you've taken their frame, their issue, mm-hmm. and you've helped them.
Mm-hmm. You have one here that I love, the misunderestimating trap. That's based on a mangled phrase of our president, that you shouldn't misunderestimate him.
Very much so. Think of all the times you've cursed George Bush.
Oh, I don't have time.
All right. Every time you curse George Bush, that means he has accomplished something that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That means he's been competent. People think he's sort of dumb and incompetent. The fact is, he's neither dumb nor incompetent. He has gotten a huge number of his things done. And you have cursed them all.
And let's mention number 11, the policy speak trap. And this is one of the problems that Bill Clinton had, but he overcame it with charisma and Bubba talk.
Right. And as soon as you just go in and say, well, I'm for the prescription drug benefit, and and you go through all the technical ease, people aren't going to understand you.
Mm-hmm. Back to the phones we go. Hal is on the line from Coos Bay, Oregon, listening to KBBR. Welcome, Hal.
Hey, how you doing?
Great today. Thanks for your call.
Welcome to the left coast.
I love it here. I'm pretty comfortable here.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking that possibly the term that you were looking for a little while ago and that would have worked for that lady, because she sounded like she is very what I was going to say, and that is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the Republicans, with their Orwellian manner of putting everything on their own terms, when he came out before he was elected with compassionate conservatism, conservatism, I thought of that as an oxymoron.
Well, remember what he meant by it. He actually was interviewed and said very clearly what he meant by it, which is that it is compassionate to get rid of social programs so that people are not given things they don't earn, but rather have to develop discipline to both be moral and to earn their living. And that is the most compassionate thing he thought he could do.
And that's why there are no tax cuts for the poor and middle class.
Right.
Which is exactly the opposite of what I think compassion is. It's just like with the abortion issue. I would much rather have compassionate doctors and nurses available for my daughter or whatever when a situation came up, and for having the passion. I think of Christianity as almost a passion, about compassion, but kind of like leaves compassion in the dust,
mm-hmm.
And I think social programs are a strong part of compassion. I think that lady, if she's working with Mennonite people, that would be a way of getting the point across, maybe more than politics.
Well, what I should have said to her in addition is this. If you're talking to Republican conservatives, very often they actually have a progressive part of their lives. And the way you find that out is you ask, what do you care about? What are you committed to? What do you feel responsible for in terms of helping the world or helping other people? And often they'll tell you, and you'll be surprised. And it's very important, instead of coming back at them on a particular issue.
Right, is to work with them.
To work mm-hmm. with them.
Hal, thanks a lot for your call today. Good to hear from you in Coos Bay.
All right, thanks.
All right, keep listening and call me again. We'll take a break and return with Professor George Lakoff. The new book is a guidebook, a handbook called Thinking Points, Communicating Our American Values and Vision, $10 at retail. It's a must for every progressive activist. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 1985 Porsche 911 SC Coupe, burgundy with cream beige interior. This Southern California car has been enthusiastically owned for the last 12 years and comes with a 3-month warranty. The price for this week only is reduced from $24,900 to $21,900.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
Traffic by.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 10 minutes away from the hour as we continue our conversation with UC Berkeley linguistics professor George Lakoff. Only Rush calls him Lakoff. has he been featuring you lately, professor, or has he gotten over it?
I actually haven't checked.
Yeah. Okay. We got a bunch of calls. We're going to get to as many as we can here.
But Bill O'Reilly has.
Oh, yeah? What's he been up to?
Oh, I'm cited more than anyone else in Bill O'Reilly's new book. And I'm public enemy number 2 right after George Soros.
Oh, my.
So I'm in good company.
Yeah, you sure are. That's something to be proud of. In the book, you identify, in the chapter called The Art of Arguments, a successful argument posed by Senator Barack Obama of Illinois mm-hmm. on the death tax, as the Republicans call it, the repeal of the estate tax, which he properly reframes as the Paris Hilton tax break. And I wanted to ask your thoughts because he announced over the weekend, he formally said what a lot of people have been speculating, that he is thinking about running for president. Bob Herbert weighs in the New York Times today saying, wait a minute. I think for many, as an alternative to Hillary Rodham Clinton, he seems extremely attractive without deep examination. But as a speaker, I think he embodies a lot of the values that you talk about. He does talk about values much more than issues. He gave a speech that I attended in Washington in June, and I was very impressed. He's a great storyteller. He understands the power of a narrative thread. He brings average people into his speeches, and he wraps it all together with pitches about values. In 30 minutes, he did not mention one policy or one piece of legislation, but he talked in very broad, progressive strokes about values.
He is amazing. He is one of the best speakers I've ever heard. I mean, just absolutely astonishing. I've never, it's hard to find anybody with more charisma than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, and he talks about the empathy deficit. Very important idea that people don't care enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, someone coming out there and can say the empathy deficit in public, be understood and explain in simple stories what he means by it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, in that thing on the estate tax, he did something brilliant. He pointed out, without actually saying anything technical and so on, he just said it straight out, basically, when you are giving a tax cut to the wealth, to wealthy people like Paris Hilton, what you're really doing is transferring ordinary wealth to them.
Yeah.
You're giving them other people's money. You're giving them taxpayers' money. And when taxpayers' money should be going to those people in society who need it, what you're doing is taking away money from those who need it and giving it away to those who haven't earned it. They didn't do money and anything to earn that money for the estate tax,
mm-hmm.
and don't need it.
And it's a powerful corrective to what the Republicans play to and feed on, which is the aspiration of every American to have an estate tax problem.
Yeah, right. Everybody would love to have an estate tax problem, but this is, what he's doing is simply making the corrective. He's pointing out that this is basically taking money both away from you, if you're paying taxes, and taking money away from people who need it and giving it to people who have not earned it,
mm-hmm.
and don't need it.
Anthony in Tucson, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Lakoff.
Yes, my comment is I hear a lot of time where politicians and professors and religious leaders always seem to say they're conservative, but if you ask them the question, do they believe in freedom of religion, and they tell you yes. But then they quote the Bible to win their argument. One who believes in freedom of religion never quotes the Bible because he just gives up his right to believe in freedom of religion. And if politicians use that, they wouldn't have this issue of gay marriages and abortion. And that's my comment. I wish people knew that, but they don't use that. To say, if you're conservative, stick within your own morals and your own principles and don't try to push them on other people, because if you do, you're giving up your freedom of religion.
All right, what's your comment, Professor?
Well, that's not what they mean by freedom of religion. It's very interesting to see exactly what fundamentalist preachers mean by freedom of religion, like Jerry Falwell, for example, and Dobson. They're very clear. Freedom, they keep talking about freedom to practice. They keep using practice. Practice your religion. Now, if you're an evangelical, it is required of you in your religion that you spread the good news. That is a requirement. If you're a fundamentalist, it is required that you believe in the literal truth of the Bible as the fundamentalist preachers describe it. Therefore, it is their requirement to spread the good news of the truth as they believe it. And freedom of religion means that to them. Now, the Constitution also has an anti-establishment clause. It says that the government shall establish no religion. And what that has to do with a different aspect of freedom. You may be free to walk down the street, but you're not free to knock someone else and tie them down. That is, freedom implies not imposing on the freedom of others. And when you have that definition of freedom of religion, namely the freedom to evangelize with public sanction, what you're doing is imposing on other people's freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're talking about.
Thank you for that call, Anthony. I appreciate you checking in from Tucson today. About a minute and a half remaining, Professor. I wanted to get your thoughts. Have the Democrats and other progressives, in your view, learned from the mistakes of the past and some of the ideas that you have articulated? And if the Democrats win back control of the House and or the Senate this year, will it be partly due to sharpening their skills at language and framing?
They're getting a little bit better at it. I heard Al Gore today, and he was so much better at it than he was 6 years ago. There are some people who are better at it. They've learned some things. They've got a long way to go,
mm-hmm.
a real long way to go. And if they happen to win, I mean, think about what Nancy Pelosi said over the weekend. She said, this is just a referendum on the Republicans. I would be satisfied to have them just be lame ducks. That's absurd. You know, the point is to convey to people what your vision is. What does it mean to be a progressive? What morally does it mean? Politically, economically, what does it mean to be a progressive? Why should people be progressives positively? What's wrong with conservatism? Exactly what's wrong with conservatism? You know, this is not just a referendum on a particular, you know, administration where if you get rid of those particular guys, as you will in 2008, you're just going to get other guys with the same views.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. George Lakoff, thank you for spending this hour with us, and thank you for all your work.
Thanks for having me, Peter. Always a pleasure.
The book is Thinking Points, a progressive's handbook communicating our American values and vision.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Former Enron chief executive Jeffrey Skilling has been sentenced to more than 24 years for his role in the company's collapse. A stiff penalty, but small comfort for this former Enron employee.
We are still victims. Jeff Skilling's, I guess, weapon of choice was his greed.
Skilling told the Houston judge he feels remorse over the pain suffered by Enron employees and others, but insisted he's no criminal. Outside the courthouse, Skilling was asked about the sentence.
I'm obviously not happy about it. I've got three children. I want to, you know, like anybody else, I'd like to spend time with my children. I believe, I mean, deep down, this is no act or anything. I believe I'm innocent.
He'll appeal, and for the time being, he's free. Skilling confirmed to reporters that he's been fitted with an ankle bracelet.
Yes, I have. So you guys will know where I am at any time. I don't know if there's a website you can call up and find out where I am, but I'll be at home.
His remaining assets, worth about $60 million, will be liquidated. $45 million goes to a victim's compensation fund. The rest goes to his lawyers. In Atlanta, two of the three people accused of plotting to steal trade secrets from Coca-Cola have entered guilty pleas. Reporter Pete Combs is there.
Ibrahim Demson and Edmund Duhaney admitted in court today they tried to sell Coke secrets to Pepsi in a pot plot that fizzled when Pepsi blew the whistle. Federal prosecutor Randy Shartash.
The government is satisfied, very satisfied with these two pleas.
Shartash says Duhaney cut a deal with prosecutors. He'll get a reduced sentence for helping the woman, both men say, masterminded the corporate espionage plot. Former Coke worker Joya Williams. In court today, both men said she told them she could make them all a lot of money. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
The Bush administration says there's no dramatic change, but it's refining tactics in the Iraq war and in what's said about the war.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. You won't be hearing President Bush use the phrase stay the course anymore when talking about his policy on Iraq. Spokesman Tony Snow says President Bush deliberately stopped saying it in the belief it gave the wrong impression that U.S. policy is static, when in fact he says American tactics in Iraq are constantly changing.
Officials confirm they're setting benchmarks for progress by the Iraqi government, but insist there are no ultimatums involved. A CBS News investigation may have prompted the Transportation Security Administration to order tighter screening for cargo on passenger flights. Correspondent Armin Katayan did the story.
For all the screening that's done of the passengers and all the efforts to really protect the pilots in a cockpit, there isn't really much being done right now for all the cargo that's going into these planes. At most, only 15% of the billions of pieces of cargo and billions of pounds of cargo around the world are being inspected.
Of six packages shipped by CBS News, only one was opened and none appeared to have been X-rayed. On Wall Street, a big day. The Dow Industrials shot up 114 points to 12,116. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management NASCAR Nextel Cup car, and this is my team. Actually, I'm backed by 30,000 Waste Management drivers, and we're looking for even more people who are ready to make a difference. So if you're geared up for a career that's going places, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS. Go ahead and call.
We'll
from everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
Does a promise come with an expiration date? Is it good for a day, a year, 30 or 50 years? At New York Life, we make promises that have no expiration date. And when we make a promise, we live by it. The promise to pay a claim, to provide for and protect a family. It is why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. Keeping our promises is why New York Life is the company you keep.
To say someone's feeling no pain generally means they're inebriated, but sometimes it's just the way they are. Researchers have discovered a gene that appears to provide some protection from pain, and they say there's a mutation that makes a small percentage of us exceptionally insensitive to pain. With the sniffle season setting in, health experts say it might be a good idea to stop shaking hands till spring.
There's obviously the potential to spread the virus by handshaking. Having said that, I'm not at all certain as to how commonly that serves to be a mechanism of spread.
Dr. Andrew Seymour at Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center in Toronto points out that in some cultures where people bow instead of shake hands, there doesn't seem to be any difference in the amount of virus being spread around. But eat your vegetables. A study in Chicago found that veggies help keep the brain young and might help slow the mental decline associated with aging. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. The Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11-30-06.
It's time for the free speech zone. Take your First Amendment rights and pump them up. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, we set aside our third and final hour to take your phone calls. And the rules are simple, or virtually no rules. You can call about any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines are open for you right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You like it all numerically? 888-573-8372. 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. Got it? I do slow down once in a while. And we'll go to your calls here in just a moment. But I wanted to expand on something I brought up with Professor Lakoff just a few minutes back in the last hour. And he's a fascinating man, and I really appreciate his taking the time to educate us. He's so patient. I mean, he knows so much more than we do. And he takes our questions in a very fair and even-handed way. We're talking about Senator Barack Obama, a freshman senator from Illinois. He's only been in office for 2 years, and already a lot of people are touting him for president. Over the weekend, he acknowledged that he's considering a run, even though initially he had rebuffed those suggestions, saying that he wanted to serve out his six-year term in the Senate from Illinois. Well, Bob Herbert wrote about this phenomenon today, and I give him a lot of credit because I think he offers some thoughtful things for you to consider. He says, with all due respect to Senator Obama, This groundswell on his behalf is disturbing. He may be capable of being a great president someday, but one quick look around at the state of the nation and the world tells us that we need to be more careful than we have been in selecting our leaders. There shouldn't be anything precipitous about the way we pick our presidents. That's a very important point. And I know many of my friends are so adamant that they don't want to see Hillary Rodham Clinton win the Democratic nomination in 2008, that they confer upon Barack Obama more readiness than I think he displays. Let me be very clear. If he gets to lead the ticket or serve as VP on the ticket for the Democrats in 08, I will have no hesitation to vote for him. But I really want the Democrats to win in 08, and I don't want Hillary Rodham Clinton to be the standard bearer because I don't think she can win. That said, I'm open to Obama, but not ready to make the embrace. Bob Herbert goes on, the Republicans may be in deep trouble, but they believe they could pretty easily put together a ticket that could chew up Barack Obama in 2008. We shouldn't overlook that he would be the first African-American candidate for president of the United States. Now, I know Hillary would be the first woman. Those are both obstacles to overcome. And in some states, it could be insurmountable. My feeling, says Herbert, is that Senator Obama may well be the real deal. If I were advising him, I'd tell him not to move too fast. With a few more years in the Senate, possibly with a powerful committee chairmanship if the Democrats take control, he could build a formidable record and develop the kind of toughness and savvy that are essential in the ugly and brutal combat of a presidential campaign. And Herbert closes by saying he's 45. There's no hurry. He should take all the time he needs. So, you can talk about anything you want. My question of the day is, what about Barack Obama? Are you ready to support him now? Do you want to see him enter the fray as a way to slow Hillary down? Or do you want none of the above? Those are the questions I'll put to you. I want to thank our friend George from Phoenix for holding on over the top of the hour break. George, you're on the air now.
Hi. I was going to thank you for having Lakoff on. I read his book, Don't Think of an Elephant. Mm-hmm. Excellent book. Just one small problem with it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think about elephants too much now.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, that's a corny joke. I was going to ask, and then I'll ask you too. I have this contention that at its root level, the essence of conservatism is selfishness. And when I think about it monetarily and promoting your and your family's agenda, the people I know who are conservative are very selfish.
Well, I think you have a very strong point of analysis there. And they don't see it that way. They frame it as a kind of righteous protectionism. And the strict father model that Lakoff identifies is helpful in pursuing that frame. Because, you are not... We use the example of the estate tax. And that Obama properly framed it as taking money from poor people so that rich people can keep theirs.
That's the essence of it.
And when you put it in that context and in that frame, it's very different. But how does that strike somebody who's already been told that it's their money and they should be able to keep as much of it as possible, okay, and the taxes are evil? And the way Republicans have turned the language around, and taxes are not your responsibility or your commitment to a strong nation, it's some sort of governmental theft from you.
Well, I think that what you were talking about earlier, the only way you can approach it with people like that is as a moral issue. You know, it's morally right to help the sick. Most of the people that were on welfare, which conservatives hate, were children. Most of the people who don't have health care, at least half of them, are children. Shouldn't we be helping the children? They can't say no to that. It's like being against education. Nobody's against education.
But remember the way Lakoff referred to the so-called compassionate conservatism. Their idea of compassion is not to help Katrina victims. It's to stiff them so that they will be more independent and pull themselves up by their proverbial Republican bootstraps.
Well, I was at the third presidential debate here in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I managed to get into it.
Good for you.
And I'll never forget, they asked the question to both, are you in favor of raising the minimum wage? And George Bush talked about go to college. He said, go to college if you want to make more money. And considering how he got into college, that was insulting. It was all I could do not to shout out because I would have been thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a terrible moment to me. And I'll give my time up to other people. But to answer your question about Obama,
mm-hmm.
what I would say is let's compare his public service to George Bush's, who is the position of governor of Texas is very weak. The legislature is only in session once every 2 years.
Right.
You know, what was his experience? He had no national experience whatsoever.
All right. And
so
I'll just
that way. I would say he should go for it if he wants to. John Kennedy was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
He did fine.
Okay. Thank you very much, George.
Thank you.
Good to get your call today. I appreciate it. Now to James in Phoenix. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Debbie, I think.
Well, Debbie, you're on the air.
Okay.
I just pulled up the wrong line. James, you'll be coming up. Don't despair. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, on Barack Obama, I hear a lot of people saying the reason they don't think it's right for him now is because he doesn't have any experience. You know, he's never run a business. He's never been a governor. So what's George's excuse for running our country into the ground?
Well, to me, the experience issue is not something where I need to see Obama's resume expanded, that he was a chair of this committee or that sort of thing. It's that I believe he needs to become more seasoned and develop an understanding. I think he's a smart man, and in his 2 years in Washington, I'm sure he's learned a lot about how things work. I just have a hesitation that he is being propelled forward a little too quickly. And like Bob Herbert, I admire him. I respect him. As I shared with Professor Lakoff, I think he's a brilliant speaker who really understands how to reach people. I think that that as an African American, he will become a target of hate and whispers. I'm sure he's accustomed to that. But I just think that there are certain things that I'd like to see played out here before I rush to embrace his candidacy. That said, he fits the bill for me in a lot of ways. I don't want to go backward. I don't want to give Kerry or Gore another chance. I'm sorry. I have affection for each of them, more for Gore than for Kerry. But I don't want to go back. I want to go forward, and for the same reason, I don't want to turn to Hillary Clinton, because it is a step back. We're going to have to go through the 90s again live through the impeachment and Whitewater and all that stuff.
Yeah, and she's too quick to take money from corporations.
Yeah, so I think that Obama fits the bill in many ways. And I'll throw out something that is neither, you know, plus or minus. It's just a fact that the last person who went from the United States Senate to the White House was John F. Kennedy.
Right.
And so we have to be clear that jumping from the Senate to the White House with some of the other factors that Obama would have to overcome is not easy.
No.
But that said, it's an open race. It's something that I would like to see fairly contested. And I want to see other people come out. I believe that when Bill Richardson wins re-election in New Mexico, he'll come out and run. I don't agree with Richardson on everything, but he is kind of new and old at the same time. And I think that he offers some positives to the Democratic Party. And I want to see who else will surface, because I don't want to leave it to the folks who've been named prior to Obama.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Don't want to go back.
Yeah.
One other real quick thing. I heard this morning on the news that the president as yet has not signed the Build Defense bill that was passed on the same day that your torture bill that you...
Yeah, on the pocket veto, Debbie, I did get a little more information over the weekend, and he signed it in time based on when it was presented to the White House.
Is there a way to find out when that was?
Yeah, if you go to the Senate website, there is a digest of the action on a bill, and it will show you when it was introduced, when it was read for the first time, when it, in this case, it never went before a committee, it went straight to the floor. Then it talks about the attempts to amend it, then it shows it was passed, and then it shows when it was delivered to the White House, and it was signed about 6 days later.
Okay.
So that's the wobbler, or the variable in the picture.
Another Pence bill, to control illegal immigration, supposedly.
Right.
And was passed the same day, and he still hasn't signed it. So
yeah.
I'd like to know if he's got it.
Okay. Well, take a look at the website and let me know what you find out.
Excellent.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you. More calls
coming up in just a moment. It's the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
And good evening. Let's take a look at the traffic here. Well, we're going to start off with a problem in Hills, Hollister-Gilroy, State Route 25, just after Union Road, getting word of a two-vehicle crash. Everything off to the right-hand shoulder, but they are waiting for, apparently, a CHP to arrive on scene there. Highway 9 at West Park Avenue, looks like Santa Cruz area. We do have a report of a white Toyota pickup truck involved in the crash, so this is a solo crash. Maybe blocking the right lane there. We'll try to get more information by our next report. Let's also take a look at Black Ranch Road at Highway 1. We have a two-car crash. Roadway is blocked. CHP should be on scene at this point. That support brought to you by Alaska Airlines. Say hola to warm weather. Fly Alaska Airlines nonstop from San Francisco to Cabo, Puerto Vallarta, Ixtapa, or Mazatlan. And our newest nonstop escape, Cancun, starting October 29th. Go to AlaskaAir.com. It's traffic on KRXA.
We
we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue to be your humble host, Peter B. I've got one line open if you'd like to join us in the free speed zone at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. My email's always available to you, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you prefer, you can use humblehost@peterbcollins.com. It'll get to me. And I'm sorry, James in Phoenix call dropped. Call us back, James. Sorry, I meant to pick you up last time and got Debbie instead. But I do have Dean in Scottsdale, and I think I picked up the right line. Right, Dean?
I sure hope so.
Hi, Dean.
Welcome
thanks.
To Phoenix.
Thank you very much. I'm loving it.
Oh, we are too. First of all, to your point with Hillary and Obama.
Uh-huh.
I agree with you. I think Hillary has too many skeletons in her closet to say.
Yeah.
And Obama, I have 2 points on him. First of all, he doesn't have any experience, or much experience, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is, he doesn't have much experience. It would be great to have some fresh, new blood that hasn't been corrupted by lobbyists.
Well, I agree. I think that there are a lot of good things about a newcomer, a fresh face, and I'm a little tired of these governors from relatively insignificant states who somehow managed to wind up in the White House. Now, Georgia isn't that insignificant a state, but Jimmy Carter was a governor of, you know, not particularly great note. And, you know, then we got Bill Clinton from Arkansas, and Ross Perot correctly put Arkansas in its...
Well,
in its place.
Let's not mention Ross anyway.
During the debates, well, there was a fresh face with billions of dollars behind him.
And where'd that go?
Yeah.
Anyway, but my second point is, I keep reading this article here and there about Bush buying land in Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen anything about it in any major newspaper.
It is interesting that it is off the MSM, the mainstream media radar, and I don't understand it because it's a curious story. It appears to be reasonably well-grounded. Now, my source was a Cuban news service, and they aren't that friendly to Bush, but I can't imagine that they simply made it up out of whole cloth. And
well,
it's true that Jenna Bush was in Paraguay. Beyond that, I don't have proof, but it's enough of a curiosity that you'd think that a feature reporter would take a look into it just for grins.
And I do recall there were some comments months, maybe a year ago or so, about a natural gas pipeline being built across Bolivia and Colombia, whatever. And Paraguay didn't sign on to the International Criminal Court. They don't have extradition to the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Is that a fact? I knew about the International Criminal Court.
So. That's what I've read.
Yeah.
Just lots of interesting things there. It looks like somebody's preparing themselves for a extended getaway.
Hey, you know, you can just see the commercials on TV. Paraguay, it's a paradise for mountain bikers and brush clearers.
That's it. And I do believe they make cocaine there, don't they?
I don't think that's true.
I think the
cocaine probably came through Paraguay, but I think it comes from Colombia and Bolivia.
Okay, that's close enough.
Dean, thanks for your call. It's great to have you listening.
Thank you, Peter.
And,
nice to have you in Arizona.
And if you get more facts on the Paraguay thing, will you email me?
I'll sure try. I've been looking for it.
And anybody who spots a mainstream media report, drop me a note, Peter B., or actually, this one is peter@peterbcollins.com. Thank you, Dean.
Peter.
Next, we go to Alice in Humboldt. Hello, Alice. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter B.
How you doing?
Well, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. I hope you feel better then.
We talk about all the time about government, and now... It's got us into this mess
mm-hmm.
with Iraq, because for them, it is very profitable. We should not be there.
Well, I agree we shouldn't be there. And I also think we should take a page out of our recent history books, the post-World War II era, and we should prosecute people for war profiteering. I think that we need to take the profit motive out of the decision to go to war and the decision to stay at war or occupy a foreign country.
Yeah, that's right.
And that would at least reduce the concern that you're expressing, that the motivation for this war was to fatten the pockets of Halliburton and Bechtel and all these other contractors, Blackwater and others, who have benefited greatly. And let's not forget the Lincoln Group and the Rendon Group, the propagandists who have benefited from this misguided war.
Well, another thing, I want to thank you so much for delivering my prize.
Well, it was my pleasure.
And hope you will be back again. You know, that was a wonderful meeting.
I
listened to the whole thing.
Well, thanks, Alice. I only wish you could have been there, and Jake,
I
too. I had two people I wanted to meet, you and Jake, and I'll have to do that on a future trip.
Okay, we'll be waiting for you.
Great, Alice. Good to hear from you today. More calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone, 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins, and I'm really glad you're listening.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm Peter B., and I'm glad you're listening. It's 33 minutes past the hour. All our lines are jammed right now. We'll get to your calls in just a second. I'd like to ask the callers to make a point or two and then make room for other people to join us, because a lot of action here on our switchboard this afternoon. Just wanted to point out one more powerful op-ed piece. It's Paul Krugman in today's New York Times. And it opens this way. It says, now that the Democrats are strongly favored to capture at least one House of Congress, they're getting a lot of unsolicited advice, with many people urging them to walk and talk softly if they win. Krugman says, I hope the Democrats don't follow this advice, because it's bad for their party and, more important, bad for the country. In the long run, it's even bad for the cause of bipartisanship. There are those who say that confrontational stance will backfire politically on the Democrats. These are, by and large, the same people who told Democrats that attacking the Bush administration over Iraq would backfire in the midterm elections. Enough said. Well, you can read this for yourself, but I agree with Paul Krugman. And I am a little disappointed by Nancy Pelosi trying to take impeachment off the table and going a little too far, in my view, of suggesting that it'll just be business as usual and no accountability for these Republicans. We can have accountability without the extremes of impeachment, but I definitely want that accountability. Ed in Aptos, you're up next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Ed. Going once. Give us a call back in. I'm not sure what happened there. And let's see. Billy is online, too. Hello, Billy. Welcome to the Peter B. Show.
Hey, Mr. Smooth.
How you doing?
I'm great. So you're absolutely right about that. Now, let's talk about the presidency for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably just old enough to remember JFK.
Yeah?
He was president of the world. I mean, like, they had his picture up in African huts.
Mm-hmm.
Obama could be an inspirational leader. You know, that's about leading America, really leading America into a better place, into being able to do, you know, good things. We're so wrecked in terms of our opinion of us overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could really be, I think the other leaders would be comfortable with a man like that. He really appeals, you know, he's so smart. I mean, and let's talk about experience for 1 second. There is no experience, really, for presidency. Being in the Senate, as we figured out, just sort of fouls you and gives the guy something bad to say about you. There's nothing you could study that makes you no job that would make you a better president. Being a good president is about maybe being the smartest guy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
He is so damn smart.
Well, I agree with you on most counts here, Billy. I do think that he is new, and he does have the presence and the potential stature to be a worldwide president and to really help repair America's image. And the fact that he is not white could be very helpful in other parts of the world.
Yes.
And I don't want to get hung up on the race issue. I just want to be honest that it's going to be a barrier, particularly in the South, and that there are a lot of Democrats or people who can be persuaded to vote on the Democratic side of the ticket who harbor deep-seated racism and neo-clan type mentalities.
True, but if we're right about this election, for example, that there's a sort of a shift now, that things are, it's a shifting moment,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Republicans are going to be able to not vote for Republicans maybe for the first time in a long time, and maybe the South is ready for a guy with this resume who could be such a healer. And, you know, again, the point is, let's see what he does in the primaries. Let's see what happens when he hits them. I mean, he's so good-looking. Isn't he going to have a sexual past?
that's a potential issue. I don't know.
Thanks, Peter.
I don't know about the whispers in Chicago, but we'll find out about that.
Yeah.
Billy, thank you for the call. And let me see here. Bruce in Phoenix, line 3. Hello, Bruce. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I kind of agree with Billy a little bit. I think Obama could be a plus that he doesn't have a lot of experience.
Now let's get the name right. It's Barack Obama. It's not
right.
It's not Barama.
I have a hard time with names. You'd think I'd be better at it in my line of work. But my big point I'd like to make is for whoever we're going to get to run for president for the Democrats, could we please get behind one person early? I don't want to have what we had last time where there was 30,000 people all vying for the job, and we ended up not picking the best candidate.
Well, if that's...
We need to get together as a party and get behind one person.
Then do me a favor, call Hillary and say for the good of the country, for the good of the party, she should take a pledge to stay in the United States Senate and not...
She belongs in the Senate. I think she's too smart to do it. I think she's better off staying in the Senate. She'll be way more powerful in the Senate. She'll be another Kennedy. She'll be a very powerful senator. I think she should stay there. I hope she will, because I don't think she's the right one for the job.
Okay. I appreciate your thoughts. Anything you want to add?
No, that's it. But I do like Barack Obama, however I'm killing his name. I think he could be a good person. I just don't know enough about him yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to find out more about him. I've been impressed with what I've seen about him and what I've heard him speak, which hasn't been nearly enough. But, I think the lack of being a Washington insider could be a plus for us. It could work like it did for Kennedy.
Right. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Bruce. Nice
Thanks.
To hear from you today. And we got Ed back on line 4. Ed from Aptos, thanks for redialing.
Excuse me a second.
No
more.
Oh.
Hi.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hey, one thing. Today's last day to register to vote in California.
You're right about that. Thanks for reminding us.
And it's people in Santa Cruz are registering in front of the post office even as we speak. I'm running the stand right now.
Great.
And so... Get out. If you haven't registered, do it now, because every vote will count.
Yes, it will, and we need them. We need everybody to be registered, and everybody who's registered to turn out. We cannot be complacent about this election on any level.
And you can do it up until midnight, or the quorums have to get in by midnight, but most of the election bureaus have drop-off boxes that they pick up mm-hmm. up until midnight, just like your income taxes.
There are also a lot of websites where you can download the form, and then you could take that and, drop it to be mailed. So you don't...
Exactly. And if you're out of county, the counties will ship it to the proper county and do it that way, too. So you can call your party headquarters, hopefully Democratic, and they'll clue you in as to where you can go and through the various, if you're not in Santa Cruz County.
All right.
For those people in Eureka and Monterey.
Great. Well, thank you for facilitating, Ed. I appreciate the reminder.
Well, hopefully that's done some good. We've collected maybe over 100 right here in front of the post office today.
Great. All right.
Okay.
Thanks for dialing in. I appreciate it, Ed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Next we go to Donna in Big Sur. What a beautiful day along the coast.
Hi.
How are you, Donna?
Oh, so far so good.
Good.
Well, I just wanted to say one cannot even imagine the history. But one should look at the history of Iran, Iraq, Persia, all that. I mean, we could all look at that forever and ever and ever, and it was like, gosh, who could know that that would not work out if we destroyed that little situation where, I'm sorry to say, Hussein had them kind of gathered together in sort of a somewhat democratic situation.
Well, we wouldn't call it democratic, but
no.
There was not the kind of intramural warfare,
right?
Because he created a balance of terror that prevented the Sunnis and the Shias and the Kurds from killing one another.
Right. What made us think we could outdo that?
Well, because we ignored every lesson that history has to offer.
Oh, my God.
And Bush went forward with a swagger and arrogance and an indifference to the details that have left us with a huge mess. And it will take a long time to patch it up to the extent that's possible in this world.
Well, I just had to call up and say that because it was really bothering me, because it's like people are not paying attention to the fact of history. It seems to me that people are not looking at history. I guess everybody's busy. Everybody's like trying to survive,
Well, that only plays so far for me, Donna. because, you know, I cannot extend that excuse to Bush, to Cheney, to Rumsfeld. These are people who went in with their eyes opened. And it was, you know, dangerous lefties like Brent Scowcroft who were telling them, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to hear it, and they didn't want to listen. And they only wanted to hear the intelligence that supported their preconceived notions. And we know that they stovepiped, they manipulated, they selectively, you know, looked at things and analyzed them. And they went forward with a very thin case that they lied about to the American people.
And hasn't Pandora's box been opened?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, thanks for the call today.
Yeah, bye.
A couple of people called in who couldn't get on the air. One was a listener in Tempe, Arizona, said that Barack Obama was there this morning and that he combined the charisma of Kennedy and Clinton and the morals the Bushies claim to possess. And so I thank you for that interesting information about Senator Obama. We've got lines open if you'd like to join us in the Free Speech Zone, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for your call.
I don't know why anyone would want to be president in 2008.
Yeah.
I mean, the pieces that are going to have to be picked up from this colossal failure we have going right now, not just Iraq, but every direction. I had to comment on Obama, not because I'm against him. I just don't have a candidate yet at all who I think in either party, but since I'm far more hoping in for the Democrats, that who I feel confident could be up to that tremendous task. But let me...
Well, can I parse it a little bit?
Yeah.
Some Democrats. And this is one of the issues that will not be resolved on November 7th, but some of the markers may start to fall into place. Because we have a real problem in the Democratic Party, that there are some conservative elements, the pro-business Democratic Leadership Council types, who really want to see the Democratic Party embody the Clinton values, which is to, in my view, become the number two corporate party in this country. And I don't say that everything Clinton did fell along those lines, but the things I didn't like were the things he generally did that helped business. And the worst one was the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which permitted big media companies to get even bigger and reduced the number of voices and independent media outlets in the country. That's just one example. So I think there remains a battle for the heart and soul of the Democratic Party and a definition of who it really stands for and represents. And I think Obama is interesting, he's clever, and he also, I believe, will be a kind of consensus builder who actually could unify the Democratic Party, not around specific issues, but more around values and common sense and common interests. And it doesn't really fit in the left-right, what do we call that? You know what I mean? The left-right expanse. And it would require him to use charisma and use leadership in a way that we haven't seen before on the Democratic side of the aisle. And I think it's possible. And that's why I have no interest in stopping him from running or talking against it. He has an opportunity to prove to us that he could do some of those things I just described.
I also wanted to comment about your earlier caller from Phoenix about Republicanism being essentially a party for selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
I could not agree more. In fact, a book should be written with the title, Why I'm Not a Conservative, and the first chapter or foreword should make the strong point that that is the core doctrine. In fact, selfishness is a virtue for them. In fact, I'll even go so far as to say it's the chief virtue. When you look at where they stand in regarding the working class and how you treat that group of people who don't own a business, who depend on some kind of wage for a living, and are going to be in that position for their lifelong wage-earning period. They offer nothing.
Thank you, John. I got to go to a break. I'm already late.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. There's room for you to call now in the free speech zone. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Taking a look at traffic, a little bit of activity now working. I'm going to tell you that it is, I'll tell you the latest. As soon as my computer acts, there it is. Santa Cruz Mountains, no major stalls or accidents to tape out, which is always good news. We are going to mention a problem in King City, Argyle Road, at Jolin Road. We have a camper shell blocking the middle lane of that roadway there, sir. Be advised, Boulder Creek Highway 9 West. At West Park Avenue, we have an accident. A pickup truck spun out. It's been cleared to the right shoulder. Traffic, however, is a little bit heavy in the area as well. Highway 25 south of Union, fender bender, right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in that particular crash. And Pajaro, Salinas Road at Johan, we have an accident reported there. Two vehicles off to the shoulder. Say hola to warm weather.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. More of your calls here in just a second. I want to direct your attention to the writings of investigative reporter Robert Perry. He operates from the website consortiumnews.com, and a post today reads, "As Democrats go through their biennial rite of premature victory celebrations, they're inviting defeat again by obsessing on polls about how many congressional seats are in play, rather than explaining to the American people what a Republican victory would mean to the nation. In the last three elections, Bush has claimed mandates for his policies even when there were questions about the legitimacy of Republican victories. In 2000, Bush brushed aside the fact that he lost the popular vote to Al Gore and pressed ahead with a right-wing agenda. The Republican congressional victories in election 2002 convinced Bush that the voters were behind his plans for preemptive wars. He called election 2004 his accountability moment, ratifying both his invasion of Iraq and his expansion of executive powers. hours. So there should be little illusion about how Bush would interpret a Republican upset victory on November 7. It would be taken as a public embrace of his authoritarian vision of America's future and as an endorsement of the neoconservative commitment to wage World War III against Islamic militants around the world. And I want to mention briefly that we spoke to Colonel Sam Gardner, the retired Air Force colonel, who has been our source on many of the issues related to the U.S. posture toward Iran. And he says, for the moment, he doesn't believe that military action is imminent. And we'll try to get Sam Gardner back on the show in the next few days, but that's the word we got earlier today. Back to your calls, and Jerry in Carmel is next. Hello, Jerry. You're on the air.
Hey, Don. I just wanted to make a point that maybe we are evolving as a species or as a culture. In September of 1918, 2 months before World War I ended, the American Army suffered 26,000 dead, 95,000 wounded. That's in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now we've been at war for nearly 4 years, and we've had 3,000 dead. They don't talk about how many wounded, but we will hardly abide the 3,000 dead. So that's kind of a positive thing. But in the long run, we must begin to talk about militarism and how negative a factor that is, and, you know, for our general well-being as a culture.
Well, and we need to identify that military might is not appropriate in every situation.
Well, there hasn't been a military success since World War II. Really, there's not been a military solution to anything.
Well, and we're battling guerrillas. That's what we used to call them. You know, they're now called terrorists. But these are people who are using guerrilla tactics against us, asymmetrical warfare.
Exactly.
And we go out there with Bradley fighting machines and B-2 bombers, and we don't understand why we don't win.
And we just christened the USS Bush.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks ago. So now that's our 12th aircraft carrier. I don't know of any other country in the world that has one aircraft carrier. But so we just keep creating this mountain of militarism, and if we could begin to retreat as to that, and also stifle our faith-based religion, our organized religion crazies in our country, you know. Those things need to be talked about a little bit more. We're as nutty, and we have the religious extremists here that are causing us just as much trouble as the crazies over there. So, anyway, I just want to talk about the, 100 years ago, mm-hmm. 26,000 dead in 1 month.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate your call. Now, Stephen in Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Stephen. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter V. It's good to talk to you, but I have to say I strongly disagree with you on two points. One
good.
Is Hillary and the other was Obama. Let me just say, mm-hmm. I think Barack Obama is a very fine person, but when I saw him on Meet the Press yesterday and today when he was interviewed on a local Phoenix radio station,
yeah.
And he talks about that he doesn't believe in liberal or conservative, and he says that as progressives we should be open to everything, including government programs. So they asked him, what about a privatization of Medicare and Social Security? So he says, well, I cannot rule out anything like that. I think we should leave everything open. As far as I'm concerned, any Democrat who would even consider the remote possibility of privatization of Social Security and Medicare, which, you know, is a euphemism to destroy
yes.
it, is, I mean, and when he talked yesterday on Meet the Press, he over and over again, I was so upset I turned off. For the 15 minutes I watched, he said that how he disagrees with Bush on a number of issues, but he finds him personally a great man, very likable, and I think I think the Democrats should really, if they take control, they should really be careful. They shouldn't go too. I mean, I was really glad the article by Paul Krugman, but this guy would be torn up as a nominee.
Okay.
But this guy would be. He seems to be weak, and the idea that he would leave open the possibility of privatization of Social Security and Medicare. He's not a Democrat, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's send him a copy of Professor Lakoff's new book,
yeah.
so he can understand that there is no such thing as a centrist.
Yeah. Let me just make this point briefly about Hillary Clinton.
Sure.
You know, first of all, I don't know if Hillary is going to run. If she decides to run, she will get the nomination. I have to tell you one thing. I know you and a lot of other progressive and liberals have really, including Mike Malloy and others, have really been totally against her. But you have to realize one thing. As James Carville said, anyone who bets against the Clintons of winning will regret. People said in 1992 and 1996, there's no way this Governor Bill Clinton's going to win. There's no way he could be reelected. And in 2000, they all said that Hillary would never be able to win the Senate.
No, nobody ever. Wait, 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 wait. Wait, nobody ever said she couldn't win the Senate.
No,
that was a cakewalk.
They said that she could only get... Let me put it
They cleared
way.
The field for her.
They said that she could never get above 45% and she would only win New York City.
Who said?
Oh, a lot of the so-called pundits and even some Democrats. But let me just say this before we run out of time.
Sure.
A recent Time magazine poll showed that she would beat any Republican potential challenger, including that despicable McCain, which I can't go into. I find him almost as despicable as Bush. She would even beat McCain by 2 points, and she would beat Romney, I don't think Allen is finished, hopefully.
Those are matchups that basically measure name recognition.
Would you support her if she was the nominee? I mean, let's put it this way. Who do you want picking the next Supreme Court justice, Hillary Clinton or some Republican?
Well, you're giving me an awful choice. But then look, if Hillary wins the nomination, I will begrudgingly support the Democratic nominee.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that I want a progressive. I want a new face. I want somebody who had a principled position on the war in Iraq from the beginning. I want somebody who will really fight for average Americans. And Hillary has some good positions on domestic politics.
Yes.
She's very Republican on international issues, and she's done that intentionally.
Well,
and it is her calculation in that respect.
She'd have the best campaign manager and her husband as the, you know, they know how to win. As James Carville said, it's not a sure thing. I know she has a lot of baggage and the Republicans will go after her, but she will not be swift-voted.
All right, Stephen, thank you for the call. Lively conversation, and I appreciate it. Call me again. I'm Peter B. Collins. Trigger's here. I got to ride off into the sunset. Join me again tomorrow.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunedaRealEstate.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A liar, a thief, and a drunk. That's how one former Enron employee described Jeffrey Skilling at his sentencing today. The former CEO told the judge he does feel remorse over the company's collapse, but continued to insist he's innocent of any criminal wrongdoing. Then, as KTRH Radio's Tom Matthews reports, Skilling was sentenced to more than 24 years in federal prison.
The most emotion came from Skilling's wife, Rebecca, who began sobbing as the verdict was read, as the many months that Skilling will have to spend in prison was read by the judge. She then slumped her head down into her lap as she was sobbing in court, and a few others gasped.
For the time being, Skilling's been ordered to home confinement with an ankle bracelet.
Now the appeal can begin for real, and Skilling does have some decent arguments to make. For example, his attorneys are going to argue that the trial judge gave jurors the wrong instructions before they began to deliberate, and also improperly allowed jurors to see and hear certain evidence that they weren't supposed to.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says Skilling might have gotten a lighter sentence if he'd apologized today, but an apology would have sabotaged his appeal. 9/11 families are outraged that more than 5 years after the terrorist attacks, more human remains are being found in underground passages near Ground Zero. New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg has ordered a new search but will not halt construction at the site.
It's tragic that a handful of places were apparently not scrutinized as well as they should have been. But families have to understand people are trying to do their best.
New research shows chronic anxiety leads to physical illness. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
If you have an anxiety disorder, chances are you have a separate physical health problem, too.
Thyroid disease, respiratory disease, gastrointestinal diseases, arthritis, migraine headaches, allergies.
University of Manitoba researcher Jitender Sareen says the combination lowers quality of life and significantly raises the risk of disability. This study in the Archives of Internal Medicine advises general practice doctors to regularly ask sick patients if they've also been suffering from anxiety. It could open a door to treatment. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A Philadelphia dad is charged with aggravated assault and reckless endangerment for pulling a gun on his son's football coach. It happened yesterday during a game involving 6- and 7-year-olds. Police say 40-year-old Wayne Durkach wanted his son to get more playing time. No shots were fired.